Let's talk about faith that pursues. Let's look at 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and let's read verses 11 and 12. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verses 11 and 12. Paul, in writing to the young preacher Timothy, says, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." So Paul tells this preacher to pursue several things here: godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Those are things that we need to look at and see if those are things that we need to pursue also. I mean, if Paul told Timothy to do it, most likely we need to do that also. And so when we look at the action of faith here, we understand that there are, as mentioned in several different verses, two actions of faith. So the first action we want to look at is that of the fact that faith flees. Faith flees. In 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, in verses 9 through 11, Paul, once again writing to Timothy, says, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, and many senseless and harmless desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness," which we just read. So we see here in this instance that we're supposed to flee from things that lead to ruin and destruction, from things that cause us to wander away from the faith, that Paul tells Timothy here to flee these things. And he tells us there's things to pursue, which we'll look at in a minute. So faith is supposed to flee or run away or turn aside from a number of things. In 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, in verse 22, 2 Timothy 2:22, here Paul tells Timothy, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." So there's a number of other things that are spoken of here: righteousness, faith, love, and peace. So these are things that we're supposed to go toward, and though we see them in the pursuit side, and we understand that we're supposed to flee the passions of youth or youthful passions. That's not to say that these passions occur only to the youthful, but they're more prevalent in them, perhaps. And then in as a reference to that, we can look in Genesis, the 39th chapter, the latter half of verse 6 and through verse 12. We remember the story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. And so when we look at the passage that we just read about fleeing youthful lusts or youthful temptations, we understand that this is one of those things. We see that Joseph was strong enough in the faith to flee and get him out of that place. This was something that he needed to do because he was a righteous person. And remember that he said that this is a sin against God, a great wickedness and sin against God. So faith flees, it runs away, it gets away from things that are influences toward evil. But we understand that faith also pursues. In 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter again, and verse 11, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things," which he was talking about previously, "and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness." So there's a fleeing here, and then there's a pursuing after. And so that's what our example needs to be. Paul tells Timothy to do these things. Flee from the bad things, pursue the good things, the things that God wants you to do. And then Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in verses 11 through 13, Paul, in talking to the brethren at Ephesus, says, talks about the unity of the faith. He says, "And he gave the apostles," this is starting in verse 11 of Ephesians 4, "and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So we want to attain. He says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. And so that's something that we need to do. As we look at the word pursue, we understand that that has to do with running after to attain. We're pursuing for the purpose of grabbing something, you might say. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, in verse 1, and then, of course, Paul shows in his discussion with Timothy, he says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Oh, he says to those at Corinth, to be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And so when he says that he wants them to be imitators of him, we understand that he wants them to pursue the things that he is pursuing, which he says, as I am of Christ. And so he's giving himself an example as to the path that a Christian ought to be following. And then in Galatians, the 2nd chapter, in verse 20, Paul says to those in Galatia, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul then is telling those of the brethren of the churches in Galatia that he lives by faith in the Son of God, and it's something that they need to pursue after. "No longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me." And I think we discussed that in the lesson this morning. So two things that faith needs to go. We need to flee from the ungodly thing. We need to pursue the godly things, the spiritual things. And so we need to look at the importance of pursuit. And this may be a little backwards to understand when we talk about flight empties and pursuit fills. If we look at Matthew, the 12th chapter, in verse 30, and then further on in verses 43 through 45, Jesus speaking here says in verse 30, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." So he's talking about those people that are not following after him, and says that those people who don't follow after him are scattering. And you might consider that to be like the seeds that are sown by the wayside that don't have any place to stick. But in verses 43 through 45, he tells about the person that has been healed of a demon. And he says, "When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, but finds none." But notice now that the unclean spirit is gone. So that emptied things. So pursuit, the fleeing that happened was an emptying of the demon here. So that person then was healed of his demon, and now we see that he's kind of empty right now. So it goes through waterless places seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that person is worse than the first. So also will it be with this generation. So it says here that in the latter part of verse 44, and when it comes, in other words, that demon comes to the place where he was housed, in other words, in this person that had the spirit, the unclean spirit, taken out, he says he finds the house, in other words, the person himself, he says, empty, swept, and put in order. Well, in this instance, the emptying happened, but the filling didn't. And so the demon, or the unclean spirit, was able to re-enter this person because he didn't fill himself with he didn't pursue the things that he needed to do. And so instead of pursuing after the things of God and filling himself with the right thing, being thankful for the fact that a demon was cast out, he failed to take advantage of this. And so he was emptied, and he didn't fill it. He didn't pursue after righteousness. Then we understand that when we pursue faith, we're looking at a more intimate knowledge of God. In other words, we're closer to God by the fact that we're pursuing after faith. In 1 John, the first chapter in verse 5, 1 John, the first chapter in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And so when we pursue the faith that we're supposed to have, and we look at the things that John has says, he's proclaimed to us that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. These are things that we need to pursue after. Because it will fill us, it will make us be closer in knowledge to God, rather. And also then a couple of chapters over in 1 John, the 4th chapter in verse 8, John also writes, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. If God is love and we pursue after him, then we'll have a more intimate knowledge of him through the things that we learn when we pursue his word, when we pursue after the things that God has given for us to follow after. And then we can compare Luke, the 10th chapter, and the verses 36 and 37, where Jesus mentions to the people to go and do likewise. In Luke, the 10th chapter, in verses 36 and 37, we remember here that the man that was going down to Jericho, and he was set upon by robbers, and they beat him, left him half dead, and two people who should have known better walked by on the other side of the road, and the Samaritan came by and helped the man, brought him to the inn that was around there, and gave money to the innkeeper that he would take care of him. And it says, Jesus asked then, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, this is the man that Jesus was talking to, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said unto him, you go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Once again, we're supposed to follow after the example of people that are shown to be righteous, that these people are pursuing faith in such a way that it gives them a closeness to God, a more intimate relationship with God, you might say. And if we are the kind of people that pursue after the faithfulness of God, we understand that when we pursue that faith, we show a trust in God, or we trust in God's grace, actually. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, in verses 5 through 11, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we need to attain qualities that God wants us to have and to be increasing them. We need to be diligent to make our calling and election sure. And we need to look for the opportunity for entrance into God's eternal kingdom, as is mentioned right at the end of that several verses there. And then in 2 Peter, the third chapter in verse 18, 2 Peter 3:18, once again it talks about trusting in God's grace, but faith that's pursuing after this thing trusts in the grace of God. And Peter tells us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So in 2 Peter, the third chapter in verse 18, we have to grow in that grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter in verse 10, it says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. So Paul is showing the fact that he is trusting God and following after him, and that God's grace is something that he is taking upon himself. In other words, grace is something that God gives us that essentially that we don't deserve. So we see many things that God gives us, but salvation is the thing that he gives us that's most important, you might say. Faith that pursues also is a working faith. And we see that works through love. In Galatians, the 5th chapter and verse 6, Paul, writing to the Galatians, says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. So that's a working faith. Notice that he says faith working through love. And then in 1 Thessalonians, the 1st chapter and verses 2 and 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, we see that there's work that needs to be done. That's work that's being done. Your work of faith, your labor of love. These are not just things that God magically puts upon you, but things that you need to work for and work toward. So that faith that we're looking for, the faith that we're pursuing after is something we need to work for. Of course, pursuit, of course, implies that we're actively seeking for it anyway. And so when we talk about pursuing things, we understand that there are a number of things that were mentioned that we are to pursue. And so we're supposed to pursue righteousness and godliness. And if we look at Matthew, the 6th chapter and verse 33, Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So we pursue the kingdom of God. We're supposed to seek that first before we seek anything else. In 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter and verse 7, he says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. Once again, in our pursuit of godliness, we're supposed to train ourselves for that. It's not something that comes magically by putting our Bible under our pillow at night and hoping that by osmosis all the words of the Bible will come into our head. It doesn't happen that way. We have to train ourselves for godliness. We have to seek first the kingdom of God. But we're also supposed to pursue faith and love. In Romans, the 10th chapter, and in verse 17, Paul, in writing to those at Rome, says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And we read that this morning also. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We have to listen to the word of God. We have to pay attention to it. When we talk about hearing, we can understand that hearing has to do with the sound waves going into our ears and being translated into words in our head. But the fact of the matter is, faith comes from hearing in an understanding type of way. Generally speaking, when hearing is spoken about in the New Testament, unless it's talking about a miracle where someone who was deaf is made to hear again, we understand that hearing has to do with hearing with understanding, listening with understanding. And also in faith and love, we have James, the second chapter, and verses 14 through 17, where James says here, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So faith has to have works. And we see here that love is a part of this. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith and does not have works? And then also in Ephesians, the 6th chapter and verse 16, Paul says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. It is through faith that we can be upright the way that God wants us to be and live in his word. And in 1 John, the 5th chapter and verses 1 through 3, 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So the love of God is shown through us or in us when we pursue the things that God has given us and the word that he wants us to abide by, and that shows that we love God if we pursue this. We are to pursue also patience and gentleness. That's part of the things that Paul said to Timothy also. And so in James, the first chapter, and in verses 2 through 4, James, the first chapter, and verses 2 through 4, in talking about patience and or gentleness, James says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And then in verses 19 through 21, he says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. So when we look at the pursuit that Paul mentions to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, we understand that Paul is encouraging Timothy and us to pursue after righteousness and godliness, to pursue after faith and love, to pursue after patience and gentleness. These are things that we need to be running after, as it were, not rather just standing by the wayside and doing nothing. But I hope this short lesson, how short it was, I'm not sure, but I hope this relatively short lesson helps to encourage us in the things that we need to do, that we need to take action about our faith, and that we need to flee from those things that are wrong. We need to pursue those things that lead us toward faith. We understand that pursuit is important in living our lives in accordance with God's will, and it brings us to a more intimate knowledge of God himself. We need to pursue after these things that are mentioned here, and we need to live our lives righteously. And so when we end up a lesson, we of course want to always take the opportunity to remind all of us that it's necessary for us to turn to God and live the way that He would have us to do so. And we have to ask, what must I do to be saved? And of course, we need to hear the word of God, as it says in Romans, the 10th chapter and verse 8, says, the word is near you. That is in your mouth and in your heart, the word of faith that we proclaim. And we need to believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, actually, in Romans, the 10th chapter and verse 11. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. Now, notice that people will like to take things like this and they'll say, well, here's the first one. That's all we have to do to be saved, right? And here's the second one. This is all we have to do to be saved. By the time we get done, we'll have five things that we need to do to be saved. Which one do I pick? Oh, you pick them all. What must I do? I need to repent of my sins. And in Acts, the third chapter and verse 19, in the second gospel sermon, you might say, repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out. So there's a repentance, which means to turn around from the way that you were going. So if you're going in the wrong direction, you need to turn 180 degrees about and flee from that. And you need to pursue the stuff that is righteousness, that your sins may be blotted out. And we have to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. In Romans, the 10th chapter and verse 10, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. I'm surprised. Well, there probably are doctrines to do that, but some people will look at this and says, with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So all you got to do is confess and you're saved. No, there's all these things pretty much. I could have picked out different ones and said you'd be saved by this, you'd be saved by that. And you don't get to pick and choose. It says the sum of God's word is the truth, the sum of His word. So we see all these things that need to be done. That we need to repent of our sins. We need to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And we need... oh, I quit pushing the laser, it'll work. We need to be immersed in water, in other words, baptized, in order to receive the remission of sins. In Acts, the second chapter and verse 38, it says, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. All of these things need to be done. Because the Holy Spirit has caused to be written down in these words here, things that we need to do in order to be saved. And so we need to follow after those five things that I've just mentioned, and we need to get them done. But if we've already done those things and become the Christians that we're supposed to be, then we need to make sure that we remain faithful. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, in verses 1 and 2, Paul here, in writing to the church at Corinth, says, by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So we have to hold fast to the word that was preached. We have to hold fast to the things that God has told us and taught us to do in the lives that we're supposed to be living. And so if you haven't done the things that are required for you to become a Christian, in other words, to hear the word of God and to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to repent of your sins and confess before other people that Jesus is the Son of God, and been immersed in water for the remission of your sins, and the Bible says you're not a Christian. You need to turn and become one because that's the right way to be. But if you've already done those things and you haven't remained faithful, that's as you should have, if you haven't held fast to the word that was preached, then perhaps we can help you to change your life by helping you in any way that's possible, by praying for you or doing whatever else is needed in order to bring you back to faithfulness. If there's anything that we can do regarding that, either to become a Christian or as a Christian to receive help or a prayer, let it be known while we stand and sing this song.